It went by way too fast. And I had, our family had so many things in February this year that it was just like you can't even get caught up. But praise God for the memories that we build each month. Amen. Have you ever had a season where it just seemed like memories just come floating back and floating back and floating back? That's just God reminding you of His goodness and His grace. Of course, the bad times will try to surface, but I just step on them, put them back where they're supposed to be. Well, this morning, I want to talk about a subject called believing. And we think, well, that's an easy subject. You know, we ought to be out of here in 5 minutes. But it's not an easy subject. Because believing, especially in relation to believing in God, believing in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, is a grand deal. It's huge. And we need to check ourselves today and just see how far we've come in understanding what it means to believe. In this new year, it's plain for me to see. I hope you can see it. But we are being confronted with the reality of God's kingdom and His gospel. The reality of it. And that means that we need to be aware every day of what we've got ourselves into. Because it's your eternal life. But, you know, from now on, if you're in the right position, you're going to be with God. Whether you're in that body of yours or you're out of it, you're going to be with Him. And that ought to be so encouraging, especially as we face what looks like coming down the road as far as what's happening in the world. And at the same time, this year, God is shaking what we think we believe. He wants to make sure that we're secure in what we believe and that we might truly discover what is actually in our heart. So let's go ahead and get started looking at believe. There are two aspects of believing that I want to talk about this morning. And one is called head knowledge. Head knowledge. Anybody got any head knowledge? I tell you what, the way I see some people drive around this town in San Antonio, they don't have any knowledge at all. They need to go back and have a refresher course on how to drive. But knowledge, head knowledge. You believe and you are convinced in your head that Jesus is the Son of God and that He was raised from the dead. Do you believe that? Amen. Okay, so you've got some head knowledge this morning. But to go with that head knowledge, do you have a daily, intimate relationship with Jesus? That's the kicker. And think about it. I mean, Jesus laid down His life, shed His life's blood for you. And He didn't do that just so you could go to heaven. I mean, think about this. God could have just one day stood on up from His throne and declared, everybody on earth is going to come to heaven with Me. And it would have been over with. But that's not the way God works. God wanted to make sure that each one of us understand about believing and producing relationship with Jesus. You see, we're not able to speak of the Lordship of Jesus Christ if we don't have it. Because there's a passage of Scripture that explains it. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So If you don't have any relationship in your life, in your heart, then you're not going to be talking about it. And as a pastor over the last 30 years, I see so many people. I've never heard them speak about any relationship with Jesus. But yet they say they're saved. They have a head knowledge of salvation. Okay? And that's what head knowledge is. You know things about Jesus, but your heart has never committed itself to living with Jesus and living for Jesus. You understand that? Okay. Your outward actions may have people deceived, and you may think you know your own heart, but it takes intimate knowledge to be able to walk with Jesus. Intimate knowledge. You even know it, your head keeps telling you that everything is okay. Everything's okay. And that's what the enemy likes to do. He likes to get you into a place and a position that he knows that you're wrong and keep telling you everything's okay. Everything's okay. And then one day you wake up and discover it wasn't okay. And hopefully that wasn't on your deathbed, because if it was, it's too late. Amen? Y'all are too solemn this morning. We're talking about some great stuff here. I mean, we're talking about living an eternal lifetime with Jesus. And we've already started. He's already in us. And we're going forward with him. Amen? All right, I'll let you by. No, that'll win him. He'll always tell you, oh, well, God's a loving God. Sure he is, sure he is. You know, after all, God wouldn't allow you to go to hell. And God wouldn't. It's you that send yourself to hell. And the reason we send ourselves to hell is that we've never tried to understand anything beyond our head knowledge. Our head knowledge. The other knowledge that we're going to look at this morning is called heart knowledge. Heart knowledge. And this is the knowledge about Jesus, that it's in your heart and you know that Jesus lives inside of you. You know that you know. And you know that he's come into your life. You know that your life has changed. And you know, it may not rise up to the level of the church hypocrites, but you don't have to answer to them. You answer to God. Amen. There's so many churches that have to put, you know, their people down. And I hope I've never been one like that. If I do, I repent. But I'm not trying to put any of you down. I want to see you in heaven one day. That's how desperate I am. I want to make sure that you are exactly where God wants you so that we can be together one day in heaven. Amen? That's a joyful place. So let's don't ruin it in the end. Amen? All right. You know that Jesus is Lord of your life also, because in your heart you have that knowledge, not just up here, but you know it. You can feel it. And, you know, he's everything to you. And he helps you discover things, not only about you, but about the kingdom of God. And you don't have any question, not even the slightest doubt in your heart about believing. Because you know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus is your Savior and that Jesus lives in your heart. And this kind of knowing will bring a rest into your life. A rest into your life. And God only knows, the people in this age that we're living in right now need to do everything they can do to find that rest. Okay? So, now how do you understand the difference between these two types of believing? Well, we're going to look at them. First of all, let me share a truth with you that you need to hang on to. Everybody know what theology is? That's what you know about God, all right? And your theology becomes your bibliography. You know what bibliography is? That's a book written about you. So if a book was written about you, I could read it and I could know you. Amen. I could know everything that you knew. I could even know how you felt about Jesus. Your life becomes what you believe. Amen. And it's what you believe that God uses to shape your life with, for the good, not the bad. So, would you agree with that statement? You want somebody to write a book about you? We'll pass on that one. Yeah, all right. The second truth is that a true Christian is a person that makes a commitment to God and does absolutely everything God says. Period. And how many of us do that? In other words, we are not some of those that are playing around the doorway into salvation. See, you know, it's easy to give your testimony, oh, I invited Jesus into my heart because I believe, and that's the pathway. Believing is the pathway. But it doesn't just stop with the believing. You have to go on through the door of salvation into the doing, the walking with Jesus, submitting your life to Jesus, and all of these things, you know, that he wants you to do, and it's all outlined in his word. And how can we ever know what Jesus wants out of our life if we don't read the word? And so that's how important the Bible is, that we hang on to it every day and let those words pump life into our physical being, our body, and even into our heart. Now, we're going to do what God says then because we believe in Jesus. And we've entered in. We've invited him into our hearts. We've entered through that doorway of salvation. But now we need to make a commitment to Jesus and receive what he has done for us. And I call it selling out. Very, very simple statement. But that means you give him everything. Lock, stock, and barrel. And that's a struggle. It really is, because, you know, we don't know where that's going to take us. But if we would read the word, we'd find out definitely, positively where it'll take us. It'll take us throughout eternity. Now, anything that falls short of that is not biblical salvation. Whether you understand it yet or not, taking Jesus into your life means giving him everything. Everything. And not trying to be someone like so many of us are in the world today. We're trying to be someone that we're really not. When Jesus came into your life, Adam was no more. Because we need to see Jesus in Adam. Amen? Don't get offended. I'll pick on Jonathan Oyer. Same thing when Jesus came into your heart. You know, Jonathan ceased to exist. And when people look at you and know you, they need to see Jesus. And you say, well, Pastor, that's a hard saying. Well, yeah, it is. And that's why we have to put so much effort and love into knowing Jesus. Because when we love Jesus like he loves us, your life's going to change, completely change. And I've seen people like that. They get saved one day, and a year later, you don't even know that person. For the better. Amen. And so it's necessary that we do this. Now, you might be thinking, well, what about those Christians who don't live like they're supposed to? Or what about Muslims and their belief in God and any other religion that doesn't measure up to what you preach? Well, the truth is, it really doesn't make any difference what they believe. There is only one thing to believe in order to go to heaven. And Jesus declared it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but through me. I mean, how much simpler can it get? But yet we've had 2,000 years of ultra theology trying to explain all of that away when they can't. And so they've just compiled a bunch of rules and doctrines and all of this kind of stuff to kind of cover everything up so that we can say that we're Christian but go on living our lives like we want to. And somehow that has never made sense to me. Does it make sense when the Bible says, if you believe, then you need to change? Amen? Truly believe, then you need to change. Now, let's look at Jesus, what Jesus really said about believing, so you can understand what believing is all about. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus had come on the scene, and notice this, just like you and I are supposed to be, he was baptized in water, and he was delivered by the Spirit of God into the wilderness for a purpose. And it was also during that time that John the Baptist was put in prison and eventually beheaded. And so Jesus comes into the city of Galilee, and this is what he says. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, I like the way he starts it. The time is fulfilled. Let me tell you, everything that God does is established in time or seasons. And, you know, when God opens a season, it's going to be completely fulfilled before it closes. Now, I personally think the time that is fulfilled had to do with the way the Jewish community worshiped God. In other words, they did their sacrifices and all of this kind of stuff, and now God is opening up to them, just like he opened up to us, a new way of doing things. And it was going to be through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So we've got a period of time in there where there's, you know, it's hard to read the Bible and understand it, because you need to understand that sometimes Jesus is talking to the church back then. Sometimes he's talking to Jewish people. But yet at the same time, he's talking to his disciples and you and I about this new thing that was coming. And so, you know, it can be confused if you're not paying attention to what you're reading. So anyway, Jesus comes and he makes that statement, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, literally, I'm bringing the kingdom of God. It hasn't been here. In fact, it hasn't been here since the Garden of Eden, but I'm bringing it back. So, you know, repent and believe the gospel. What does repent mean? Did y'all hear that? Sometimes we forget what that word means. But Jesus made the whole thing very simply. He just said, repent and believe. So let's look at this word believe. And this word means in the English, the Webster's Dictionary, means to have confidence in the truth or the reliability of something without absolute proof. That sounds like a bunch of mumbo jumbo, doesn't it? Why don't you just tell me what belief means? Well, they go on and say to have confidence or faith in the truth. To have confidence or faith in the truth. That's getting closer. To be persuaded of the truth or existence of something. To be persuaded of the truth or the existence of something. Now, that's the dictionary for the English language, and it would be okay if the Bible was written in the English language when it was the original scrolls were written in the English language, but it wasn't. The original Bible was written as letters, and that's how the Old Testament was designed and the New Testament was designed. And they were all in either Hebrew or Greek. Hebrew or Greek. And I know there's some Latin mixed in there too that we could mention. But basically those two languages. So even in a true translation, sometimes the real meaning is not correct because our words cannot describe the intent of the Greek word. Now, you have to take a course in Greek to understand that. And this is the reason I depend on the Holy Spirit. You know, I can get in this Greek and Hebrew books and the parallel and Bible and all this kind of stuff, and I can absolutely get lost. You know, I mean, it's so complicated. But if you listen to the Spirit of God, He will lead you into understanding these scriptures. But if we look at the Greek word believe, it means to depend upon, to trust in, rely upon, and adhere to. You believe in Jesus, then that means that you're going to depend on Him. You're going to trust Him. You're going to stick to Him like glue. And you're going to rely upon Him, trust Him. In everything, not just coming to church on Sunday morning. No, this is every day, you know, every minute, every second of every day, from the time you receive Jesus to the time you leave this earth to go to glory. Now, in this particular passage, though, there's another Greek word that's used together with the word believe. And this other word is what, to me, just brings the beauty out of believing. The second Greek word means to rest in. To rest in. In other words, in my relationship with Jesus, I'm to depend upon Him, trust in Him, rely upon Him, stick to Him like glue, and just rest. Just lay back and rest in Him. Anything that comes my way, I've got confidence that He's going to see me through it. Amen? And I encourage you to try to find that place because it's real. The word was only used a couple of times in the New Testament. But this was one of the examples that was used. So you need to learn how to just rest in Jesus. And to rest literally means that you don't have any doubt. You absolutely don't have any doubt about what you believe. You've come to a place of rest. You've come to a place of peace in your heart. And you've committed everything to Him. Everything. Now, if we were going to put an English word there, we would want to put assurance. Assurance. There was an old hymn that I guess they still sing in some churches, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. You know? What a beautiful picture that paints, you know. I'm assured with everything that's in me that Jesus belongs to me and I belong to Him. Amen? All right, there's a picture of this in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, and let's look at this. And the scripture says that a man brought to the disciples' feet of Jesus is a son who was demon-possessed. And the disciples failed to deliver this young boy. And so Jesus told the man, I think it's down in verse 23 or 24, that all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. And the man cries out in reply to Jesus. He says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Now, that was a strange thing, a strange statement that bothered me a long time until I finally figured out what Jesus was talking about. What Jesus told this man was in verse 23, all things are possible to him that believes and the one who can rest in that belief. The one who can rest in that belief. You see, revelation came to that father. And he cries out in verse 24, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In other words, what he was saying, Lord, I trust in you, I rely upon you, I adhere to your capabilities to deliver my son. I can rest in that right now. But Lord, keep me together. Help me continue to keep resting in that. Okay? And you see, when we're resting in something, it's not just a one-day deal. I mean, we're going to walk every day coming back to that rest because we don't want to lose the rest once we find it. Okay? So it's something that we have to purpose in our hearts to continue to rest in our relationship with Him. Now, what actually happened here, this father, he had head knowledge about Jesus when he first came to Jesus. I mean, you know, the word was out on the streets, and everybody could hear, you know, that he's healing people, opening blind eyes, and cripples are walking, and all this kind of stuff. And so he had heard about all of these miracles that Jesus was performing. And he believed in what he heard, that's why he brought his demon possessed son to Jesus, and we often do the same thing. I mean, we believe we've got a problem, and so we go to Jesus. But when he first found the disciples, he had also heard that they cast out demons, not just Jesus, but them, and so his head knowledge put him in a place of a false. A false security. He thought his son could be saved from the demons. And in his heart, he did not think that it would really happen. And I believe that is rampant in our churches today. We say we believe in healing. We say we believe in deliverance. But in our head, we don't really think that it can happen. Does that make sense to you? We've never come to a place of resting in healing. Resting in healing. And this is the only other place in Scripture where this word rest in is used with the word believe. And it's found in Luke 24:25. This is the third one. Luke 24:25. Jesus is walking on the road to Emmaus, and he comes up behind a couple of disciples who were also headed that direction. And they're talking to one another, and of course, Jesus was close enough behind them that he was listening to their conversation. And as he drew closer to them, then he began to speak to them. And they did not recognize that he was Jesus. Now, you know, I don't know what Jesus looked like. You know, this was just a few days after the resurrection. Some, it seemed like, recognized him. And apparently these guys didn't. But they're walking down the road talking about him. And after listening to their explanation of the events that had just occurred, Jesus spoke to them. And he said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Now, that might offend somebody. Might even offend some of you. If Jesus called you a fool, wouldn't it? "Oh, you fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And Jesus, what he's saying is, you say you believe, but yet you don't have rest in what the prophets have told you that you should believe. And that's where so many Christians are today. You say you believe, but yet you don't have rest, you don't have confidence, you don't have boldness. I mean, why are we afraid to share the gospel? Why? You know, we always put the blame on, "Oh well, I can't just walk up and start talking to people." Or that's like stepping off a cliff. You know, I get scared and all, you know, my tongue gets tied and I just can't do that. Then you're not confident in your relationship with Jesus. You need to have a greater confidence, and that greater confidence comes when you learn how to rest in Him. Learn how to rest in your relationship with Him. Now, these two are listening, and Jesus, during this course of time that he's walking with them, he begins to open their mind to the scriptures. Oh, how I would love Jesus to come through here one day and just open the minds, our minds, about the scriptures. Because scriptures literally are so confusing, and there's been so many interpretations of scripture. It would be a blessing if Jesus would just come by one day and straighten it all out. But he's not going to do that, because that's not what he's supposed to do. But what he was telling these guys was, look, you had head knowledge, because I spent 3.5 years with you. But you don't have any rest in your hearts, because all I've told you about what the prophets had said, you have not been able to come to a rest in that. And the same thing is what's happened to us. You know, we believe, but we don't have rest. And I, you know, I'm all week I've been trying to figure out or be able to tell you how to get over that hump. And the only thing that I can figure out to overcome that hump is just to get into the Word and start believing everything that God said. You know, we have a tendency, you know, when somebody tells us something about the Word of God, that, you know, we draw back, or there are times when we can agree together, but sometimes we draw back. You know, I don't think that's right, or I don't understand. And mostly it's, I don't understand. And why don't you understand? Well, because you haven't been in the Word, learning the Word. Okay? Now, let's look at ourselves this morning, and then I'll close. What about your heart? Has God shown you anything about your heart this morning? Y'all look so sad. I'm going to start crying here in a minute. Woe is me. Do you truly believe unto salvation in your heart? And do you really have rest in your heart that you belong to Jesus and that He is Lord of your life? Amen. If you can say that and if you can believe it, then walk in it. Quit trying to hide it. Just cut the curtains down or whatever you need to do to just let yourself out. Because God's got a job for you. He's got business that needs to be done, and you're the one that needs to do it. So we're going to have to get beyond this. Whatever it is that's holding us in bondage, we're going to have to get beyond that and begin to do what God has instructed us to do. Did you say, have some? Yeah. Amen. But you took the opportunity to say it. Yeah. 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 Yeah, right. See how easy it is. I mean, that didn't take, you know, a lifetime of biblical education to figure it out. I mean, you just let your heart speak because it's the Spirit of God that's going to speak through you anyway. You just got to be at the right place and let it go. So, do you believe in your heart God's Word and know in your heart that His Word is true and that you can rest in obeying God's Word? Because you see, obeying is another part that we're so weak in. You know, we say we believe, but our life doesn't show obedience in the Word of God. We pretty much do what we want to do. And I see that a lot in our church and every other church that I've ever been around. You know, people want to portray to the world out there that, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm just a goody two-shoes. You know, I just go to church every Sunday and, you know, I'm just so good, you know. And when God's looking up there into your heart and He knows that you're lying, you know. I mean, that's the bottom line. You're lying, telling people false information. And God wants us to be truthful. That's what He's called us to be. Truthful, sharing the truth of God's Word. Amen. So if you are, you know, walking in disobedience, then you need to change. You need to repent. Because like Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And 2,000 years later, I believe it's here. And we got to get busy doing what He put us here to do. So do you do what His Word says? 100%. Do you obey Him 100%? You don't have to answer that, but I want you to think about that. Do I obey God in everything? And am I able to rest in the truth of God's Word? Am I walking in that rest that God gave me in Christ? Okay? That's your homework assignment. You need to, this week, you need to talk to yourself about rest and about where you are in your relationship with God. See, there's so much that God wants to work in our lives, so much. And He's, you know, dependent, literally dependent upon us. And, you know, for some reason, God wants to use you and I to declare the gospel. God has the ability and the capability of sending forth angels into this world to just declare the gospel from the heavens. And everybody in every language would understand it. Now, you know, in our evil little thoughts, we'd say, oh, well, that's the easiest way to do it. God, go ahead and do it. But God didn't plan it that way. God's got the perfect plan, and you are part of His perfect plan to spread the gospel. So we need to get busy doing that. Amen? Hallelujah. So you got a busy week. You're going to be thinking and working all at the same time. Multitasking. All right? All right, let's pray. Father, we just praise You.